Guys, I'm really into things that add more convenience to my life. It's even better when it also comes with safety in a high-quality package. I'm talking about my Eufy Video Lock. I'm still loving this thing. I love this thing so much that I'd like to invest in the company. I am so impressed with this product that I'm willing to back it. And if anyone out there knows how I can do it, please reach out. You gotta check it out for yourself. I'll probably do a quick social post, but for now, just search Eufy Video Lock. Do it online. It's a 3-in-1 smart lock, 2K camera with an audio and doorbell. It's easy to install. It has fingerprint recognition, so I don't even have to remember a code. I can control it all in an app, which again, the convenience is such a big plus for me. We are always on the go, and being able to monitor our home on the road is such a nice option. Not only that, I don't have to rush to the door if the doorbell rings. I can either open the door or ignore whoever's at the door by vetting them through the app. There is no monthly fees for security video storage. The battery is rechargeable, and each charge lasts about 4 months. This Eufy Lock is fantastic, and I highly recommend it. Search Eufy Video Lock online. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. Guys, UFC 302 is just a few weeks away, and I just spoke with Islam Makhachev about his upcoming fight. I want to tell you everything that I learned, plus Alex Volkanovski has called for a fourth fight with Max Holloway. How do you feel about it? Those and much more topics to get to on today's show, but I want to begin with an update on a story we've been following for a few weeks. Well, told ya. Who told you that Ryan Garcia was innocent? Who told you early on that there was no way to prove your innocence, which is the very reason you never should have gone into a volunteer drug pool in the first place? You're volunteering, you're willingly, you're open, you're volunteer. Do you know what the word volunteer means? To put yourself in jeopardy. You are not volunteering to have extra credit put on you. You are not volunteering to enter a drug pool. You're already in one. You're not volunteering to have a reputable agency oversee it. You already have all of those things. You're not volunteering to get a boost because of the media arm and the distribution and the regulation and the belief and credibility therewith of. VADA has none of those things. And I gotta hear from VADA when I talk to them about this. I shouldn't hear from VADA. They should not be upset with me. I should not hear anything from them. Because nobody knows who they are. Like, I'm not putting VADA down. Chael coming out and encouraging people to not put themselves under an extra microscope. And then let's say that I win that battle. Let's say I influence people. They still don't know who you are. They don't have any idea who VADA is. Which is what I told you guys on day one when Ryan Garcia popped. I told you, we know our own. You can do a drug test, or you can take your shirt off and you have Chael Sonnen look at you. I will not only tell you 100% of the time who's dirty, I'll tell you what they're using. Not some of the time. 100% of the time. And there is nobody else out there that came and told you that Ryan Garcia was clean except me. And my gripe is, why did he subject himself to this scrutiny willingly. Now, I want to rework this for you guys. You guys want to know where that comes from? Do you understand where this mindset comes from? Okay. In a general drug test fail, the athletic commission that has authority over the event, and don't forget, guys, if there isn't a punishment, it's not a rule. At anything in life, I don't care what the sign says that says you can or you can't do it. I don't care if that sign is right and backed up or not. If there's not a punishment, it's not actually a rule. Can we agree? If nothing bad can happen to me for doing it, you don't really get to tell me that I'm not allowed to do it. Can we agree? So in a general situation like this, you would have the governing body, who in this case was New York, and all within one statement that is absolute boilerplate, has passed through the executive director, every one of the commission members, and a legal team. So all you're doing is changing the date. And it would say, Ryan Garcia is hereby suspended for 24 months due to an abnormal finding in his A sample. A commission hearing is set, and it will state the date down to the exact time of day. And I'll make it very clear for you that the B sample is still out there and that Ryan Garcia will have his day in court, which is an absolute fallacy. There is no court. A court represents a disinterested third party known as a judge. There is no fighter that gets to go to a disinterested third party. They have to go in front of the very commission that already made their ruling, which is you're guilty. And in the history of these commissions, they have never looked at themselves and got, my God, we got it wrong. We're wrong. You're not guilty. It's never happened. And the one thing about Ryan Garcia is that was very fascinating. Aside from the fact that you could look at him and you could come up with a number of drugs that he was on, none of which were anabolics. Aside from that, the governing body never weighed in. As a matter of fact, as first reported to you by me, VADA never weighed in. The voluntary anti-doping agency that oversaw the test that Ryan failed all, allegedly, never weighed in. That was one of the things that was so peculiar about this. And we had an announcement of a failed test by Devin Haney. That's pretty wild. I don't believe there's a time in history that you could bring forward. And not just in boxing or within combat. Within sports, where one team says the other team has violated. It really was quite an amazing thing. So we now, at this point of the story, have nothing but potential slander done by a defeated opponent with sour grapes, or at least it would appear. So we keep waiting. Commission never comes out. They never say that Garcia did it. They never denied it. VADA never came out and said Garcia did it. And VADA also never denied it. We had Garcia himself come out and confirm the reports by Haney were accurate. You're just looking around going, what is happening here? Why on earth would you do that? Why were you even in a voluntary pool to start with? But moreover, why are you confirming what looks to be slander? And you get some greats who could be subject to the same thing. I mean, Conor McGregor went out, and I believe it's a deleted tweet, but he said that that Ryan Garcia should never say hello to him again if they ever see each other out. And he suggested that Ryan Garcia whack himself. I'm not going to say what he exactly said. He said these things. And it was really terrible because you have Ryan Garcia out there going, listen, I'm a pothead and I'm on tequila at all times, but I can't even pronounce the word of that substance. Now, there's been plenty of guilty guys who, while taking a banned substance, that banned substance was accidentally tainted with a different banned substance and they knew nothing about it. They truly didn't know what that was. They, thank God I got away with this one. And I'm just sharing with you, like, if you thought that Garcia's denial seemed authentic, it was. And the same as I brought you the first time, he genuinely had no knowledge of taking anything that was banned. There is other ways, and that's a diatribe for another day that I really don't even want to have it, but there is other ways that you could have banned substance in your system, regardless of what people love to tell you. And yes, the I ate tainted meat is a ridiculous story, but there are certain things that just didn't pertain to Garcia, as I informed you. So just to get a little bit of clarity, because this story won't stop, it keeps on floating around. And we now get a story today that Garcia has been cleared. And our source for that story is the same guy that convicted him, which is him. So I decide to go to the authoritative body, which happened to be New York. I reached out to them, and wouldn't you know, the executive director had just resigned. Not related. By the way, she was awesome. Kim Sumbler is one of the great executive directors. I'm just sharing with you that she had resigned. So now there really was nobody to look to. Now there really was nobody to go to. Now there was really nobody to adjudicate this. And I would suggest for you there never was in the very first place, which is why it was such a surprise that Ryan Garcia co-signed Devin Haney's statement. But even further, it still ties you to the same common denominator. And there's only one. It is not Haney and it is not Garcia. It is not Nasrudin, it is not Ostertain. It is not the executive director and it is not New York. The one common denominator in every piece of the story that should not be there and should have been eliminated is VADA. Guys, I just had a great experience. I just talked to Islam. Now, I feel like I know Islam, but you know that works in this community. You're doing the same thing. You're around each other. You're talking about each other. But then when you think about it, you go, yeah, I'm not sure that we've ever officially met. Okay. So, and Islam is interesting. And tell me if you would agree with this. My sense of Islam. So, supremely confident while remaining likably humble. And you can't always do that, right? I mean, there's some environment involved there. Personalize it, but my own story. When I was coming up with Team Quest, like, you might be, and this doesn't have to be me. This could be Evan or Dan or Matt or Randy or Lieben or Eddie or Nate. I mean, I could just keep playing that game. You're getting ready to fight for a world championship. The whole world is convinced that it is down to you and one other guy. But you are not sure that you're going to be the toughest guy in the room at 3 o'clock. Like, it's one of those interesting spots. Daniel Cormier. When I was talking with Islam, it was Daniel and I were interviewing him. But that would be another great example. You know, Daniel has always remained so playful, but it's a similar spot where he'd be world champion and no matter how bad he was, no matter how tough he was or well-paid or filling up buildings he was, Kane was in the room every day. And I'm not to say that Kane could go beat up Daniel. What I'm saying is that at least keep you honest. Can we agree on that? That'll at least be something you gotta focus and narrow in. And that is a very interesting concept. It's a very interesting concept. I've seen people do this coming from a wrestling background. Like, you've got your teammate and you've gotta prepare with them. You gotta work out and prepare with that guy. However, at some point, you and that guy are going to shake hands and compete for the varsity spot. So it's always a tough dynamic. There is never, ever not a game played to some degree by both guys, and they can't help it. And the ones that choose to play a game of I am here to be world champion, and I can't be the world champion if I can't be the best guy in this practice room. And they go out and give it their all. Those are the guys that win the day. But it's very uncommon to come to that mentality. It would separate you from an already elite pack. And when you have somebody like Islam, who every day is going to go and see Khabib, right? I mean, it's one of those things. And by the way, Islam could have passed him by now. He certainly will pass him, right? The younger guy that's going twice a day every day versus the guy that's coming in more of a coaching role. But I don't know if it's happened yet. They would know, and only they would know. And when that situation arises, for me at least, it's fascinating. John Smith was the Olympic champion in 88 and 92. And anyone that was around to tell the story, and I do mean unanimously, say that he could have won it in 96 and again in 2000. But he was now coaching the team as opposed to participating on the team. Cale Sanderson is in that spot right now. The best guys on down will stand back and tell you we still can't beat him. Just one of those interesting things. I couldn't relate. I mean, I could not relate. Like, if I had got to that level where I could beat everybody in the world, I'm quite sure, you would never know until you're in that spot, but I'm quite sure I would have stayed. I would have kept beating everybody in the world. I would have had those experiences. I would have had those training camps, those weight cuts, those travels, those walks, those cage doors shutting. But look at a guy like John Jones. John Jones gave a world title back. When I worked my entire life tirelessly. I didn't have girlfriends. I didn't go to dances and parties. I mean, right there's these things, which you're focused on one thing. He gave it away. He had so much success, he gave it back. Could you imagine? It's an interesting spot. And I asked Islam a question. I asked him about that, for one. And those guys have a culture. They claim, I don't know their finances, but they claim that it doesn't matter who's making what. If you're the guy on the team that hasn't even broken into a major promotion yet, you're a dream of fight, but you're in the room every day, or you're the champion getting pay-per-view points and millions of dollars from sponsors, it's all the same. And I don't fully know what that means. Does that mean there's like one account and everybody gets a draw from? I don't know. But I can tell you the way it was presented, yeah. It's like there's one account. They will all eat the same foods. They will all stay in the same place. They go to the closet, share a guy's clothing. What an amazing thing. I mean, that really is an interesting thing when you understand they came from a village in Russia in a town called Dagestan. And Dagestan is for sure a region, but it's not much above what you would consider village. And there was something crazy one time. I was in a sauna, and there was some guy in there, this guy, and he used to wear these funny hats. And his name was Khabib Nurmagomedov. He was very new in the UFC, and I wasn't even visiting with him. I was in the sauna. He was in the sauna, but this Khabib was telling someone the story. I'm changing these numbers. I admit that. But it was like Khabib said, there is 2,400 people in my village, 18 are Olympic gold medalists. It was something like that. And I remember I can't even imagine. I don't know what that would be like to grow up expecting to be Olympic champion, assuming that you would be Olympic champion. The farthest I got on that of just assuming, not knowing, being naive, but it was too that you were positive, is that I would get a scholarship in wrestling. I remember that very much. I remember I was talking to the vice principal and he going over, there's something called finals. And I'm explaining to him that I don't like finals. I don't like the finals process. I don't think that it should all come down to this one test. And he's sitting back and he's explaining to me, it has nothing to do with if you like it. This is what we do, and you got to get that through your head. And what a dum-dum I would have to be to think that my opinion of that matter was even one. Right? But you know these times of your life where you don't have it all figured out, but you think you do? And he's explaining to me, if you want to go on, if you want to be competitive and go to college. I remember, scholarship. My GPA is not scholarship. And he was breaking down the numbers for me and telling me, 0.1% of people get scholarship, just so you know. Odds aren't in your favor. I just remember being so confident. But imagine that. Imagine what I just said. I wasn't trying to punch my own ticket there. I was trying to share with you that what if you did have the mindset of like Khabib, that this is just what you do. You come up, you identify your sport around 11, 12 years old. You focus everything into that sport. You represent the country. You win the world championship. It's just an interesting thing. And there is something about staying with those same people in that same environment and everybody staying equal that would keep you playfully humble. And when I talked with Islam, it was one of the things that I could not get around. And I asked him point blank. I told you guys yesterday that I would do this and I would get back to you. Here's the payoff. Every upset involves the guy being upset, being in a match that he didn't know was going to be as difficult as it is. Simple as that. And when you follow Islam, he was pretty clear to say he was expecting the winner of Charles Sakarian. He was pretty clear to build up Justin Gaethje, who was a 2-1 favorite over Max, and put him over. Dustin came in out of nowhere. Hey, Islam, are you aware of what a badass you're about to face? And the answer was absolutely yes. As a matter of fact, and this should be very reassuring. This is good news if your team Islam. He said he held Dustin to such a standard that it's why he didn't mention his name and didn't call him out. He, Islam, did not know he could ever get to a Poirier. And if that answer, because there's always a lost in translation, right? But if that answer is 80% true, then the outside chance of upset clause really would not apply. Either way, got about 3 weeks to go. These boys are going to fight. Volkanovski has now revealed that he would be interested in taking on Max Holloway. I mean, what a difference a day makes. This is shocking, quite frankly. Volkanovski is laser focused on getting his title back, which means a rematch with Ilya Topuria. Ilya Topuria was called out by a 135-pounder named Sean O'Malley, and everybody thought that was a good idea, only because there was no other idea. The moment there was another idea, called Max Holloway, all of a sudden Ilya versus Max wins the day, and a couple of weeks before that, O'Malley gets his hands tied up with Merab. So you then run into, well, what are we going to do with Volk? It's a very interesting spot. We understand that a person being knocked out requires a certain sensitivity. Now, whether that's a layoff, whether that's an automatic built-in suspension by a commission, which can be waived by a doctor, but the age of the fighter getting knocked out, like there's a lot of things here that can get a little bit sensitive and we need to be observant of. It was very interesting with Volk because Volk consistently throughout his career has had one request. This is very consistent. He will win massive fights and go to press conferences and say the same thing. Please book me soon. Please get me right back in there. He never asked for more money. He never asked for bigger placements or bigger sponsorships or told you, the audience, that you didn't value him enough. He very consistently said, turn me around and do it quick. Now, he finally, after Islam Part 2, let us in on why. And it was very compelling. And talk about something that was sensitive. We all stood back. He let us know the mental side and some of the bad habits and decisions he will find himself in when he's not training for a camp, right? It might sound simplistic, but he was the first to really admit it. So he took precedence. He got to not only get in line, he got to cut the line. But now that we're confronted with two knockouts of unblemished number one GOAT standing, number one pound for pound standing, featherweight championship is all met with two defeats at 35 plus years of age by finish. And you just run into a spot where you go, what do we do? Like, if Volk wanted to make the argument, I've never asked you for anything, and I am now, he would win. He'd be right. If Volk said, I gave Topuria a shot and all I want back is the same thing that I already gave, he'd be right. If you were to say that Max Holloway is clearly the top contender and then you realize that Volk had beat him not once, not twice, but three times, you'd be right. And then you would remember and you would hang your hat on one argument, which is Volkanovski asked for a little time off. And you'd be right. Through all of that, at one point, while asking to get turned around, while saying he wants Ilya, while saying he wants right back, while saying he deserves the reshot, at one point he did slip out of his mouth, I would like to take a break. Okay. Well, now that you know the score, okay, now that you know what time it is, here you have Max Holloway, who was the odd man out at 145. He was the odd man out to the point that he left the division and nobody asked him to. Not one of you ever came up with the idea of let's take Max out of 45 and put him at 55 against Justin Gaethje. Those words were never spoken. Justin Gaethje did not call him out and did not call him up. They both got a phone call one day. They both agreed. And then the announcement came out. And that's not generally how a big fight is made. It can happen. It is not generally how a big fight is made. But what a perfect usage of a super fun, very popular guy in Max who's got a top standing and can't get the title shot. What a great usage. Just get him out of the way. And I tell you that story because it is fascinating. What a difference a day can make. And Max, who's now the BMF champion, who I believe is going to be fighting Topuria next, is now being called out. He's being called out by the very guy who he could not get a match with. And he couldn't get a match because he already had three and none of them went his way. There was no ability and no storyteller good enough to get him the fourth shot. And it's not that the promotion is calling. It's not that Max called for it. The guy himself. It's not a lot of fun in this sport to have to fight somebody a second time, particularly if you win. But if you did win, you understand the importance. Like that little bit of sportsman in you, no matter what a dirty, filthy rat you are, a little bit of you will understand. I took this from this guy. I don't like this guy, but I got to let him. I got to give him a second shot. But once you get two, there is no third. There's just not. And if you have an unprecedented time, well, as a matter of fact, we do. We had an unprecedented time here in Volk and Max. And if it goes the same way three times, not to mention the gap is getting bigger. It's not the other side. It's not that you had a big gap and it started to get tighter. It starts to get looser the other way. There is not a storyteller amongst us good enough to get Volkanovski to agree to the fourth time. And now, not only is he agreeing to it, he suggested it. And Volk touched on everything I just said. Volk said, well, now that he's got the BMF, yeah. Yeah. We could do a fourth fight. Yeah, I would fight him. If he put up the BMF, I would fight him. And I just feel like there's a lot on that. I mean, first off, the message is, right? The overarching message is when your phone rings and they have, you say yes. I hear fighters that have turned something down and they'll come out to the media and go, well, you know, my managers and I, this just didn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense to you or your managers. When the second floor of the UFC call, That's the boys it has to make sense to, and it already has. That's why your number got typed in. Okay, that's when you know if something makes sense. You the rest of the time, you're just shopping ideas. That's when you know. All right, fine, let's set that aside. What an incredible spot. And I have long maintained for you the power of the BMFL. And that the UFC doesn't quite itself understand that power. I believe that. Now, the Olympic Games is the exact same tournament as the World Championships. All of Earth, and there's a process, and they whittle their way down, and they contest it right here, and they mark it on the calendar every year. But every fourth year, they call it the Olympics. And many of you don't know, you don't follow amateur sport. I don't mean to condescend to you. When you see the Olympics every 4 years, that same tournament happens every single year. With or without NBC and the Peacock, that same tournament happens. But every fourth year, they call it the Olympics. And that's the one that you hear about. And that's the one that you wait for. And that's the one that gets on TV. And there is a prestige to the rarity. And I'm stating for you the obvious, but I maintain for you that same prestige comes with the BMF. And the mere fact that Volkanovski, the pound for pound, the featherweight, the great, is now willing to do something that nobody else has ever even been asked to do a fourth time with the same guy who have not split outcomes, but he's willing to do it because the BMF is up. I feel that it further illustrates my point, which is how much we all love, and I feel we should have a lineage for, I feel that we should continue to defend, I feel that we should keep around the BMF. Summer is coming up, and that might mean that you're going to have a little more time on your hands. Why not use it to learn a new language? Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, is here to help you. Some of you may be traveling abroad this summer, and you might want to experience that country beyond just the touristy type spots. Your experience could be upgraded just by learning the native language. Now you can download the Rosetta Stone app to your phone or tablet and learn on the go while driving, riding on the subway, running on a treadmill, or even laying poolside with just a 10-minute lesson per day. Rosetta Stone's lessons are designed for long-term retention of language skills rather than short-term memorization. The focus of the program is preparing you for real, authentic conversations, not just knowing a couple of translations. It's like having your own personal trainer for language learning. Rosetta Stone has been used by millions of people for over 3 decades. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started for a limited time. My listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off. Unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. That's a steal. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, guys, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly on to you. I haven't skipped a beat using Mint Mobile services. I have a great service even when I'm traveling for over less than 70% of what I was paying before. Listen to Uncle Chael and say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/chale. That's mintmobile.com/chale. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/chale. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your first stop for the best in Western style. And by the way, you don't have to be into the Western look to grab a good-looking pair of boots. I recently got a pair of ostrich skin round-tip boots, and I'm warm with my suit. These boots are so versatile that I can throw them on with a full head-to-toe suit. And Anthony Smith came right up to me and he's asking me where I got them. Well, I told him the only place to get them, Tecovas. And they have a seasonal limited edition offering. It's right now, this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, accessory, and more. My wife just surprised me with the ostrich wallet and a belt for my birthday, in case you've seen me. I feel like I look pretty sharp in it. I truly do. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary beverage or two, and shop for new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your favorite pair of boots today. So, I'm put in a very tough spot. I'm put in a very tricky position. Jorge Masvidal, Nate Diaz. And, like, here, let me just explain. I would support in any way that I could Nate Diaz. I would be a rhetorant to success in any way that I could Jorge Masvidal. Right? Wouldn't matter what it was. I support Nate. Don't have to know anything else. Nate's there. I roll with him. George is there. I hope it falls on its face. Do you understand? Okay. Now, I just did Ariel Helwani's show. Like, this just happened. This just ended. And Ariel reveals to me that Nate and George is moved to July. And he wants to know my opinion on it. Okay. Now, what I haven't shared for you guys is if something had ever happened to Nate, I would have filled in and I would have been taking on George. Okay, great. That has nothing to do with anything, but set that aside because at a minimum, I would know the date. At a very minimum, I would know the date and I didn't. And I bring this to you because I was the first to come to you and say, guys, let's rethink this. I was the first to do it. Now, rumored was that this boxing match was going to go down in Las Vegas in March. And when the press release came out and I got asked to weigh in, I said, guys, I don't believe this to be true. And the reason is, it's January. There's a press that's coming out in March. That would come out with an on sale. Nobody would make that announcement without having a press conference and letting you know where you could buy tickets. It just wouldn't happen that way. And so I even asked those that. I said, hey, who's promoting this? No answer. But they kept running with it. It was headlines everywhere. I said, well, who's distributing it? Which means if I don't want to go live, but I like to sit at home and enjoy it and take this in or have a show or maybe a party and some friends over, circuit on my calendar, where, what channel would I turn on? They didn't have an answer to that, but they kept running with the idea that these two were going to box. And I said, they're not. There is no promoter out there who could scramble from now to March anything. Last day of March, first day of March. You can't scramble from now to March, not have a distribution, not have an on sale date. Oh, by the way, take these two stars and go into Las Vegas. Whatever approval you think you got over a phone to come into the boss's city, you don't have it. No matter what you were told or what relationship you think you have, you are not rolling into Vegas and being welcomed. I'm letting you know that right now. And I let you know this way back in January. And sure enough, I was right. And it wasn't happening. And there was no on sale. And there was no venue. And they weren't going to Vegas at all. All right, great. So it's going to be June 1st. So, in part, little Chayla. No, I'm not out training. I'm not out getting ready for this. Anybody can go and prepare for a fight. A real man just shows up. But I don't get told. I don't get told. And it's now going to be the 16th, and it puts me in this really weird spot. On one hand, I want to really get behind it, right? And on the other hand, I'm put in a difficult position because we're told that the fighters themselves are the promoters. Which means when George says he's gonna write Chael a check, he's actually being serious, which means I got to count on Masvidal's check, right? That's a bet I'm not willing to take. So, Nate was publicly offered $15 million to do MMA. And in the history of our sport, there has never been a public offering. And in the history of our sport, nobody's made $15 million in one night. So it was an amazing thing. I remember when Don Davis did, he went on Errol's show, he flew out to do it in person. It was awesome. It was this awesome announcement, but the fact that Nate signed with George tells us that he's going to turn down the $15 million offer to take on Jake Paul. And even though it'd be MMA, it was a guy that he just got done fighting, right? I mean, there's a little bit of fear in fighting. That's called the mask. But when the mask comes off, there's now no more fear. Like, you might be scared of a guy and you'll be ready and prepared. There's a whole bunch of words, but fearful is not one of them in your rematch. You might have an anxiety, but if you used to train with a guy, you don't have fear. It's a different thing. It's a mistake that guys, well, it's a mistake that Jose Aldo's opponent just made, quite frankly. He physically grabbed him at the press conference. That was right there in that moment. In that brief second, it was right in that moment when Jose lost his fear. He felt his strength. He felt his power. And you now are no longer a stranger to me, and I'm only sharing with you. It's a very interesting thing for Ariel to tell me the guy ready to go in against George, the date of June 1st, that I'm planning to be in California, I don't need to be there. And it doesn't help but to worry me if the athletes are putting their own money in. It bothered me in January when I heard that this was going to be Vegas in March, and I told you no, it wasn't. And it bothers me to hear today, on a date of a fight that I, in theory, need to be ready for, has been moved, and I heard about it from Ariel. That's concerning to me. And I follow a lot of politics. I told you guys that. I haven't watched football games and baseball games and basketball games. I follow politics. I've seen many a good candidate suspend their campaign, and there is no such thing. The day you suspend your campaign, you have ended your campaign, whether you're aware of it or not. The best podcast guest I have ever had is Matt Brown. Does that surprise you? Now, I don't do a lot of guests here. In fact, if you're rolling with me and you're a loyal follower, I appreciate that a lot. But you might have said, Chael, guest, you never do guests. I used to. When I was getting into this, I did not know podcast was one word. But nobody did. There was no such thing. No one knew what a podcast was. Like, if you wanted to hear something, you went to the radio. And if you wanted to hear a specific genre, you could even pay for a monthly subscription and then have that specific radio, what was it called, FM, something like this, XXM radio. Anyway, my point was how fast the world has changed. And I used to always have guests, and then you would try to leverage them. You'd have a guest on and then hope that they would go on something at that time called Twitter and share and expand your show and expand your audience, right? I mean, it's not like this terribly clever idea and model, but it's still what it was, and I was adhering to it. I had Matt Brown. I thought, what am I going to talk to this guy, man? Matt Brown, I've seen his interviews. This guy is as tough as an old leather boot, but he doesn't want to tell you about it. He pops on the air. It was the best guest I've ever had. I did that with guests every single week, three times a week, for years, before I went to where we've got this more of a one-way monologue. And he was still the best I had ever had. His opinion, the way he looked at it, because the story of Matt Brown, I got through The Ultimate Fighter, and I got told to me through the cameras and through Forrest Griffin. Now, the Matt Brown story, as it ties into Forrest Griffin, is very relevant that you know, because Forrest is the first person to ever believe in Matt Brown. And I'm not sure I have to asterisk that and say, well, you know, in this sport. I'm not sure of that. Forrest Griffin believed in Matt a lot, and Matt did not win The Ultimate Fighter. And Forrest Griffin continued to believe in Matt and continued to work with him. And it's a relevant thing. The Ultimate Fighter, and I have to start Matt Brown's career with this because that's how we all got introduced to him, okay? And one thing about The Ultimate Fighter, it used to be called a reality show. And for the life of me, I don't know why. Like, I don't know what definition had to be met to fall into that category. The reality is the Super Bowl is a show. And I only share that because what The Ultimate Fighter is it's the toughest tournament in all of sports, and it's documented. That's what it truly is. And one thing about that, when you're a coach on The Ultimate Fighter, when one of your athletes is eliminated, right, just means he's beat. It doesn't matter if it's a preliminary round, the quarterfinal round, a semifinal round. Once he's beat, there is now no point and or an incentive for a coach to continue to work with and grow that guy. You've got to work with and grow the guys that you have. And I don't like that. I didn't follow that philosophy. I don't like that philosophy. I have seen that with my own eyes. I have been on teams where there's an elimination process, whether that was you try to make the varsity spot or college terms, you've got what's called the postseason. And therefore, if a guy was not a varsity guy, I've seen him get brushed. If a guy didn't make it to the postseason, I've seen him get brushed. I just don't like it. I don't like it myself. I do understand it, but my mentality defaults to more of a little league type mentality where everybody that comes, we're going to make them the best them that they could be. Okay, you can agree with that or not. It's a relevant piece because Forrest Griffin never quit working with Matt Brown and he never quit talking about him. And that was another part that was very interesting for me, the viewer. Well, why are you talking about a guy that's been eliminated? He's not going to get any airtime. Why are you, Forrest Griffin, staying late after workouts to work with a guy who will not get any more airtime, and he can't be part of this tournament? And it's a very small observation, but it stayed with me. So, okay. Somewhere along the way, Matt Brown becomes all of your guys' favorite fighter. Matt Brown is Justin Gaethje before Justin Gaethje was Justin Gaethje. And he's having these knockdown dragouts, and all of a sudden, you're putting in the same category, whether it's Nick Diaz, whether it's Carlos Condit, whether it's Robbie Lawler, whether it's who should get to George St. Pierre, whether it's John Fitch, feel free to throw me in, Rory McDonald, feel free to throw me any big name of that era you want. There is no big name of that era where you wanted to assimilate Matt Brown. And what an interesting thing, considering he not only came through that era, I mean, Forrest himself, who was a leader of that era, went on to be a world champion. Went on to be a full-time employee of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Went on to be a Hall of Famer. Forrest retired a period of time ago. Matt Brown retired 4 days ago. My point being, we're talking about an era that he came through. He transcended two, and if you really get a calendar out, three different eras. That, in and of itself, is quite an achievement. Now, I give you all of this backstory on Matt because there was a different point in his career. So I call that the Ultimate Fighter and the Forrest Griffin. I tie that into to one group. Matt then had to get out on his own, just kind of return home. And now he's got to deal with the fame. Now he's got a little bit of money he's got to deal with. He was very open on the Ultimate Fighter to share certain distractions that had got the better of him at time. And I just tell you that because he goes on and has a great career, but when he made his run, his absolute run, where you go, my goodness, who is this? This is a whole other guy, right? Like, he was always a dirty, filthy Muay Thai fighter. Always. He would get in there and be as grimy as anybody. Like, wishing that headbutts were legal and definitely going to find a way to LBU just because it's going to hurt. He was always that guy. But when his career started to turn, it involved Mark Coleman, and it involved the Ohio State Wrestling Room. I can't do you a lot better than that. It's never fully been told to us. Like, Mark Coleman, who's from Ohio State and represented with the help of the late, great Kevin Randleman, R.I.P., the Hammer House. So we all were like kind of led to believe that there's a heavy bag and a scheduled time in the Ohio State room that Coach Ryan is letting these Hammer House guys come in. But that's never actually been explained to us. We don't actually know. We just know that Brown was getting workouts in the form of wrestling to the highest levels. Now, he'd already proven a dirty, gritty cage fighter, which came from being a dirty, gritty Muay Thai fighter. But all of a sudden, he adds this wrestling element. And I have long tried to explain to you all, one of the reasons that wrestling does so well, it is not because of the takedown or even the power of the takedown. It's the things that are built around. It will give you a conditioning. It will give you a sharpness that you cannot get anywhere else. There's no dojo or no gym for MMA that you can go to get that wrestling, lactic acid, grinding cardio. Even though Matt Brown did not, when he made his turn, he didn't go out and start taking people down. He did not even become the guy that got above the bottom or defended takedowns a whole lot better. He became a guy that could do that Muay Thai. He could drop those elbows and give you those knees for a full 15 minutes and up to 25 on certain occasions. And it greatly changed his career. And I have to look at both of those. Like, I will always think of Forrest Griffin when I think of Matt Brown. I'll always think of Mark Coleman when I think of Matt Brown. And you talk about people that believed in him. Got to insert Dana White. And then you all. You all started to believe in him as well. And Matt Brown announced his retirement. And he goes into such a rare category. George St. Pierre got to go out the way that you would want. Lennox Lewis got to go out the way that you would want. Feel free, guys. Throw me some names of other guys that went out on top. And even if you can, even if you succeed and you give me a name or two, okay, great. Well, add Matt Brown. So now we've got him in the same category as George St. Pierre and Lennox Lewis, right? Did you ever expect that from a guy that used to have a mouthful of tobacco and got sent off the Ultimate Fighter in an early round? Not for nothing. This has been an amazing career. What an amazing career to Matt Brown. And I prefaced all of this by telling you what a great guest he was when he came on my podcast. I tell you that because he has a podcast now. And it's great, much like him. I just wanted to give a shout out. I wanted to thank Matt Brown for the memories. I love that he was at a soccer game. I love that he took time to speak to all of us while he's got his daughter playing soccer in the background. Wish him the best. We'll miss him in the ring. But there's still going to be plenty of Matt Brown out there. You just got to go find him. Let's jump into Gable Steveson, guys. We might be seeing more of this guy. And the world of professional wrestling is very heavily dominated on the dot-coms. But so's MMA. And there was a dark era we couldn't get on TV, and the president of DirecTV's wife didn't like it, and she kicked us off. You remember this whole thing? Dana had to guarantee Time Warner, and that could have been DirecTV, he had to guarantee them $100,000. What does that mean? That means if Dana sells 70,000 pay-per-views, they don't write him a check. He writes them a check for the remaining 30,000. Shocking. Possibly the fastest way to go out of business that I've heard. This is the risk. You just took a guy had a bet on himself. Very interesting story. But we lived on the dot-coms. And the UFC used to be Monty Cox versus the world. Monty Cox was manager extraordinaire at that time. He'd represent five guys. He'd represent the entire main card. And so then you would just find guys to take on the guys out of Bettendorf, Iowa. So I share this with you because where would Gable go? How far could he go? And if that's what you guys want to see, you got a lot of power. WWE fans have shown that. But the MMA fans live very close to that same bubble. And I would encourage you to speak up. I would want to hear from you. But let's, right now, hypothetically, how far could Gable go? So you look at the world's best wrestler, which he was. Proved it in every way you could. He won his city championship, his state championship, the United States championship. He won the world championship, known as the Olympic Games. So, and he's at heavyweight, right? So let's just make a comparison with Bo Nickel. So Bo Nickel comes in. He's as decorative of a wrestler as there is. You can start arguing Bo's three titles against Daniel Cormier's two Olympic berths. Just for example, you can start having a real interesting conversation here. You could manage Bo's four trips to the NCAA finals against Henry Cejudo's trip to the Olympic finals. Now, what side of that would win out? I'm just talking about Bo's as decorated as they come. And look at this start that he's off to. And the other side of it is, how much wrestling's Bo ever used? I mean, how much wrestling has he used? I feel as though he's used hip pressure. I feel as though he's used control. Bo, particularly against Cody in their last fight, doing something called an elbow chop and a wrist ride. But that's done and designed to annoy and bother the opponents, a distraction. But I will give it to him. That's wrestling. He did that in wrestling as well. How much wrestling has he used? So as you start to really think about that question, you start to identify and break down where there's other guys that are a lot more wrestling heavy. Use Chimaev, by example. So many people talk about Bo and Chimaev. We're some of those guys over here. But that comparison, at least from an MMA standpoint, is much more relied on by Chimaev. So it would seem, or at least there would be an argument, that you would check that box competitively for Chimaev. Feel free to disagree. The point I'm attempting to make. At heavyweight, with Gable, where the laziest guy in the room can tell you, in 4 ounce gloves, I just have to land one strike, but the lazy guy's right. He's right, particularly at heavyweight. It's not really an accurate statement with women 125-pounders. It's not the same thing, not historically. You could go back and look at the record books, but at heavyweight, boy, it is, isn't it? Boom, that one shot, boom. It could be a jab. It could be either hand. It's one of these situations where understanding a level of boxing becomes more important in my estimation. Now, I am a wrestling mark. If you ask me, you got two guys that are going to fight. You say, Cheo, who do you think's going to win? I am instant. My mind just instantly, I can't help it, will go, who's the better wrestler? And that used to be a great way to do things. And then the year 2001 came around. I mean, what I just described for you has not been the case for over two decades. Are you aware of that? For over two decades. No one discipline has been able to dominate. And then I'll say you see kind of an offshoot. Maybe an Alex Pierre or a Damian Maia slips in here. Kayla Harrison gets it, where this one discipline. And I tell you that because there's been so many great wrestlers and they don't have the resume of Gable. Gable was the city champ, state champ, national champ, world champ. But there's some guys that were city champ, state champ, national champ. They got real close to what Gable did. But it didn't transition. X's and O's standpoint. In wrestling, X's and O's are the most boring thing. The only person in all sport that can make X's and O's fun is John Madden. That's because he had the use of the screen. He was the first to do it. So I don't try to talk about it too much with you. But if you want to know the difference in MMA wrestling versus competitive wrestling, in competitive wrestling, you shoot to the opponent. Now, you must shoot to him. You must shoot to him, because if you knock his ass backwards and he goes out of bounds, you can't score. So wherever his feet are, you could get in on your shot and his feet haven't moved. That's called shooting to your opponent. In MMA, you shoot through your opponent. You blast him. Where the out of bounds would be, it's a fence that's going to stop him. You take him all the way to that, you shoot through him. And that is a concept you either understand or you don't. And I do not say this condescendingly. I thought all wrestlers did. I just thought that they did. And there's been, really good national champions, really good. I won't name them, world medalists multiple times, who had losing careers in MMA. Did it one time and stopped. They didn't understand that concept. They weren't able to use it. See, and that's what Bo has done so well. Bo's not out there using wrestling. Bo is successful because of his success in wrestling, but he's not using wrestling. And it sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? Go talk to Bo's dad. Go ask Jason Nickel about that. Say, why is your son, as a wrestler, not as decorated as some, doing more, faster, and further in MMA? And he will tell you what I just told you, because my son shoots through the opponent, not to the opponent. So now when you have actual techniques from wrestling, you kind of just have one. It's called a double leg. And you might be a Daniel Cormier or a Chris Weidman, where you can get to a single and switch to a double. They're the only two guys. Don't go to a single. There's no such thing as a single leg in MMA. In single, imagine I have a guy's leg. Imagine this position. I have his leg. Are you picturing this one? I have his leg. Okay, do I have his leg, or does he have my hands? Do you see the problem? So if you're in on a single, your hands are tied up. There's nothing you can do. You got to get to a double. Two guys in history have been able to get from a single to a double. And I'm sharing this with you because I would certainly think that Gable would do well. I would bet on him that he would clean house. But there are a couple of numbers that are against him. Let's start with size. Well, it is a nomenclature and reported in our sport and misreported and repeated and repudiated and will continue to be so on and so forth. Size advantage, it's never really proven to be. And you will have some Tyson Furies out there, but you will have a lot more Cain Velasquez, Randy Couture, Fedor Emelianenko, John Jones, that are 30 and 40 pounds under the limit. Those big guys, it slows them down. It gets them tired. There are your Brock Lesnars. There are damn sure some exceptions. But you got to search for them. Mike Tyson, 220 pounds in his prime. Muhammad Ali, 198 pounds in his prime. Size is a disadvantage. In most cases, if anybody could pull it off, I feel like it would be Gable. But as I make this piece, if I planted a seed, I've got any interest from you, including those of you that are sitting back. But Gable himself sitting back, go, what is Chael second guessing me? Yes, I am. I'm second guessing you, but that's what makes it interesting, right? None of us want to read a story. None of us want to read the book if we know how the story ends. And as decorated and successful as Gable has been, it is a new arena. And no different than he would have to go to the WWE and prove himself in that arena. No different than the NFL teams that are allegedly calling him. He's going to have to go out and do certain things in a combine. It's no different. Sport of wrestling is no longer MMA. Sport of wrestling can be very helpful for somebody that goes in MMA, and Gable is at that age and with that curiosity that he definitely could make it to the top, but that is not a guarantee. All right, everybody, that is it for today's episode. I'm going to read you a review from a fan who left this on Apple Podcasts, and it simply says, I love Uncle Chael's podcast. Almost as much as I love parking my dual rear wheel crew cab pickup truck in a compact car's only spot in a space of short-term parking at the airport. You know what? I actually know what that's about. I actually know what you are referencing, and you're going back a period of time, but I gotta give you quite props. And if anyone else recognizes why you said what you just said, leave me a comment. I will be very impressed to know. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.